So help me out here. Have you heard that phrase before? Help me out here. Where have you heard it?
Myself.
Yourself. Yeah, there you go. Dr. Stewart has used it on occasion here when he's speaking. And when does he use that phrase? Have you heard him use it? How many have heard him use it? Yeah, there I go. Okay. When does he use that phrase? There you go. Yeah. When he wants some interaction, when he wants some participation, when he wants you to be up and go. Why are we helping him out when we do that? Yeah, because otherwise he's up here all alone, by himself, nobody else, just him. Of course, they don't help me out like that. They usually help me out like this. That one. That's the help. Of course, I don't need their help. I'll just kind of leave that one there, it sounds like. Yeah, I see that. Of course, having help is a great help, right? I mean, it's a wonderful thing. Except if you're going to paint, and somebody wants to help Daddy, that's fun. You know, and this becomes a kind of a big battle, because you want to have this daddy, son, or daughter time. You know what I mean? But if you do, you know what you get. Even in the corners, you get. You done that? You had that? When they're 3, 4, 5 in that area and they want to help. You know, the strange thing is, after they get older and can help, they no longer... Yeah, you've noticed that too, right? Yeah. Having help. It's a great thing. I remember getting big help like that on a garage door. I wanted help. So, you know, I wanted them to have some time. So I got some water and we had some concrete blocks that would soak it up and they would sit there and do that. But they didn't want to help like that. They wanted to help with the garage door. So they did. Took mud and sprayed it all over. Rubbed it all over my freshly painted garage door. Yeah, it was nice. Big help. I'm going to put something up here. It was a plea for help. See if you can recognize this plea for help. Here it is. Oh, not that one. That's a different one. That's Kaylee, who no longer wants my help. She does computer programming at school now, you know, and she said, yeah, you know, I don't. Why don't you put that? Well, no, Dad. Huh. Here's what I was talking about. Do you see that? I don't think I can bring that down. What this says is, Mr. Watson, come here. I need you. Plea for help. You ever heard that? Where'd you hear that? Sherlock. Oh, I was afraid you were going to say that. Nope. It's actually a historical one, not a fictional one. Ah, there you go. Alexander Graham Bell. And how did this happen? Yeah, the revolutionary telephone. That is the message that he sent over the first phone call. Mr. Watson, plea for help. Come here. I need you. And he heard it. And so Alexander Graham Bell and his amazing speaking device. Can you imagine this world without phones? I know sometimes we'd like to, but... Wow. Just think. I mean, it's annoying when Alita won't answer her phone to me. Can you imagine? Can't even, or for me. Can you imagine? Wow. Do any of you get annoyed when you know, we get a phone so you can have it and you don't turn it on? Anybody get annoyed about that? I don't either. Okay. Can you imagine a world without phones? Amazing. They're a big help. They're a big help. You know, unlike Alexander Graham Bell, Jesus gives us a message about help. And it's one that, unlike Alexander Graham Bell, comes across clearly. You know, that first message was it was like when Nate called me through the stereo. He was messing around with it. I had my phone ring in the office once, picked it up, and "Hey, Dad! Hey, Dad! What? I'm talking to you through the stereo." He rigged it so it went... I don't know what he did. Unlike Alexander Graham Bell's message and Nate's through the stereo, his was real clear about help that's coming our way and that he intends for us to be in on. Matter of fact, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14, 15, and 16, because there he capitalizes on, or captures it rather, for us. Here, let me put out, while you're turning there, these words. This is the quote, John 14, 60. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." He's talking about help, and it's his message before he left. "I will ask, and another helper." This will be your help. And he defines who this help is, even the Spirit of Truth, whom, and he goes on and talks about the Spirit of Truth in this world for a bit. And then he says this, "I will not leave you," should be right in there, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now notice, this is Jesus continued, because this is when he is going to leave. And he tells us what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and for what purpose he's going to do it. When's he going to do this? Well, you see, he's leaving. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." He's leaving, but he says when he's leaving, "I'm not going to let you alone." You know, you don't have to go out that there is no daddy, there is no mommy, there is no house for you, there is no father, there is no provision. I will not do that. So the when about this is when he was leaving. The how about this is the Spirit, is how he's going to come to them. This is Jesus continued. This is how he's going to come to you. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom he sends. That's how he's going to come to you. And as to what purpose, you're going to need to look with me at John chapter 16 here at verse 7 in John 16, where he says this, and I want you to read it with me. He says, "Nevertheless," John 16, 7, "I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go away, I will send him to you." To what purpose? To what purpose is he going to come to us in the Spirit when he goes away and doesn't leave us as orphans? To what purpose? To your advantage. That's the purpose he has. To your benefit, to your being in a better, privileged position. That's the purpose. He is going away, leaving us, or sending to us, the Spirit, so that we are at a vantaged position. It is better position that he goes away and we have the Spirit. I don't know how many times people have told me, "I wish the Lord would just come and show me how to tell me." No, you are in a bettered position that he has gone away and sent the Spirit. And this morning I want to talk to you about this thing of Jesus continued. This thing of him not leaving you as orphans. This thing of him coming to you via his Spirit. And I want to talk to you about it so that you will take advantage of the better position. That's what we're going to talk about. Taking the advantage. And this involves two things. If you, and then I will. Somehow my taking advantage just went over. If you, I will. Only we're going to talk about it in this sense. First, I'm going to talk about the I will. This is what the Lord is saying this amounts to for us. You see, Christ is resurrected. He did appear. We could handle him. Thomas could put his finger into his nail prints and his hand into his side. He was here. He did demonstrate it. And he told them, I'm going away. And you're in a better position that I'm going away. Because when I go away, I'm going to send to you a Spirit. And the Spirit is here for this purpose. Your advantage. And my plea to you this morning is to take advantage of the better position. My aim this morning is to acclimate you better to this privileged position. You know, sometimes we need to acclimate. Notice that during the warm days here, last 2 days, 70. Guess what? 50s and 60s next couple days. And we'll acclimate. We'll put back on the jackets and the sweaters, perhaps, that we've acclimated to the cooler climate. And we'll acclimate. We need to acclimate to the bettered position. And to do that, I want to talk initially about what the Lord says, I will do. Acclimate to this. And here's how we'll do it. I want you to just acclimate by stepping into the rays of the sunshine. Have you done that? Sometimes it's cooler in the house because the house has been closed up than when the 70-degree weather's outside. So you kind of step outside into the sun rays and you just kind of soak them up. You've done that? You know how that feels? It just kind of... My wife, during the cold weather, likes to flee south for a little while. I mean, down south where it's warm enough that she can, and she, oh, this feels so good. Because the warm, she says, the cold just gets into my bones. You know that? And the warm. So I want you to do that. I want you to step into the rays of the sunshine and just acclimate to this better. Privileged position. It's to your advantage. Here's how we'll do it. I'm going to go through the passages where Jesus says to us that he's going to be continued. And he promises. This is how it continues. By the way, is he trustworthy? Can you really believe him? Oh, you can bet your life on believing him. And as a matter of fact, I hope you have. Because if you haven't, you're not going to heaven. Because if it's all on you, it's not going to work. But if it's all on him and you bet your life on him, then it's going to. And he says, I'm continued. Acclimate in the rays of this sun's shine. And how we do this is we're going to read through everything he said as his promise. And as I read through it, I just want you to pick up on what he says will. I will. He will, talking about God the Father. He will, talking about God the Spirit. And I just want you to bask in the sun's rays of what he will. So let's do this. John chapter 14, pick up with me at John 14, verse 16, where Jesus says this, and I will ask the Father, and he will, Father, give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, didn't really get this. And he says, Lord, how will you? And Jesus said to him, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me will not keep my words. And the words that you hear are not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things, Jesus said, I've spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy One, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Wow, there's a lot of wills in there, isn't there? There's a lot of things that will, according to Jesus' promise, who is utterly trustworthy, and we can bet our life on, will happen in your privileged position. But he doesn't end there. Slide with me to John chapter 15 and verse 26, where he adds this very quickly. But when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And just one more time yet, we're going to hear what Jesus has to say to us. Slide with me down to verse number 12 of chapter 16. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot handle them. You can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that is mine, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I say he will take what is mine and declare to you. Did you feel the warmth of that? This is what Jesus said is your privileged position. This is what it amounts to. All that I will do. With the Father, with the Spirit. You know, it's an amazing thing in this book that the D-bands are using to help as we go through these passages. Jesus continued. In here, it says it a very, very straight up thing. It says, Jesus, before he ascended to heaven, said to his disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14:8. At the ascension, Jesus did not become an absentee God. He, as God, simply came to the disciples as a different person. The mystery of God exists in three persons. Each person is distinct from the other, but in experiencing one, you experience the one God who is all of them. If your mind just exploded, that's okay. Christian theologians have been dealing with this for centuries. God is coming to you. I will. And it's better. It's a better. It's a more privileged position than having Jesus right here standing beside you. Because when he comes to you like this, like he says, I will, he will, God will, the Spirit will, he tells us what this amounts to. First off, he says it like this. John chapter 14, verse number 16. I will ask the Father and the Helper who dwells with you, the Spirit of truth. The world can't receive, but you will know him because he dwells with you. He will be in you. There is no problem of access here. You know, Dr. Stewart wears a beeper. He wears a cell phone. He has a house phone. And sometimes I get calls from hospitals and they complain because they can't get a hold of him. Well, let's see. What else can we do? And so we have to go back at this and tell them the procedure that we've gone through so that they can use his beeper. Do you have your beeper on? Show him your beeper. Here's his beeper. You don't know the number. I know the number. You don't know the number. That's to beep him. And a little message comes over there, and we pay for that every month so that he can be beeped. And he has a cell phone that you can call him. And his home phone, if he's not there, you will hear Karen say, call the hospital. Because through the hospital, you can get to him. Now, I want you to know they still have problems of access to him sometimes. Have I told you that sometimes Alita doesn't have her phone turned on and how that affects me? Oh, no. Right. Right. You know, because you can't reach them. Do you? Yeah. Well, I can reach her, maybe. The Lord has no problem of you reaching him because he's in you. Jesus is better than beside you via his Spirit. He's in you. And that means whatever you go through, guess what? He goes through with you. His carrying you doesn't leave footprints in the sand. His carrying you is from inside out. He's carrying you. That's His promise. I will... Well, the world doesn't know this. They can't know this. And the word He talks about there is a know in experience. They can't know this experience. But you know it, and you know it because He dwells with you, and He will be in you. That's the bettered position. And let me tell you who this is. He's called the Helper here. Do you have a translation that looks at this word helper in verse number 15 there, or 16, is it? Let me take a look here. It's verse 16. Does yours use helper? What? Pardon me? Comforter. Okay. Advocate. Somebody. Advocate. Anybody else? Counselor. How about that? That's the NIV. Anything else? Intercessor. Anything else? Let me show you how the ways this gets translated here. Look at all the ways this word that He uses here gets translated. He is the helper. Whoa. He's the counselor. Whoa. He's the advocate. Whoa. He's the encourager. Whoa. He is the comforter. Whoa, He is the friend. Whoa, He's in the intercessor. Whoa, He's the strengthener. There's another one that's not up here because I ran out of room. That's this. He is the standby person. You know, the word literally means this. It's paraclete. Paracletus is what... It's paraclete. And what that means, it's not like a parrot. It's someone who comes alongside of you and strengthens. That's the idea, only this strength isn't beside you. It does dwell there, but it dwells in you. Okay? That's what we have been given. Counsel when we need counsel, encouragement as we need encouragement, an advocate who stands up for us, an intercessor, a comforter, a friend, all of that is what the Spirit provides inside out. It's a better position. It's a privileged position. He says, and He says this, that it's another. You see, Jesus is continued. And this is another dimension of this relationship with God that He has established through the cross. He's sending another, He says, helper, which is all of that. And when He uses the word other, He uses this word or this word. There are two Greek words for another. The first Greek word is this word allos, which means the same. It's another helper that is of the same kind. Or He uses the word heteros, which is right there, which means another of a different kind. For example, I use pens a lot. I use them every single day. There is not one day that goes by that I don't use a pen rather extensively. As a matter of fact, I will get a new pen out on Saturday for penning the text of the message, and I will pen it, and by the Saturday the next week, that pen is completely dry. And so then I will say, I want another pen. And by the way, if you go to my house, I have a stash of pens. And if you try to take my pen, I am very glued into my pens, because if I don't have my pen, I don't have my mind. I don't have my function. So I watch my pens, and when I have one that goes dry, then I get another of the same kind. And let me tell you about these pens. These pens right here, they are Papermate 300 RTs. This is the fastest, smoothest pen on the planet. I mean, if you take a ballpoint retractable, there are some that may be super injected or something. I don't know. But these are the fastest pens. If you don't believe me, no. Go buy your own and check it out. Okay? Because I want another, but it's another of the same kind. Sometimes I get a pen that's a different kind of pen, and I say, give me another. Because I don't want that one. I want one of my Papermate RT300s. Fast pens. Matter of fact, sometimes they go faster than I do because they give me more ink than I need and it becomes a blot. That is a problem. But nevertheless, he says here, I'm going to give you another helper, all of that like I've been, who is of the same kind to you. He is of the same kind and he will be with you like I've been with you, but he will be in you, and that is the privileged position that we have. That is it. That is it. And Jesus brings the idea home to us. I mean, I want you to see how personal this gets when he brings the idea home to us. Look where he says, you know him, for he dwells with you, verse 17, and will be in you. And then he says, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he begins to explain. Yet a little while, and the world, physically, will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. What day? The day the Spirit comes, and this all activates. Whoever, he's explaining here, whoever has my commands and keeps them, he's the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. We'll talk about that in a moment. And I will love him, and get this, and I will manifest myself to him. When John and Hope, just a moment ago, brought Arabella, say this with me, Arabella. Took me a while to get that down. That's why I practiced at that. I still mess it up on occasion. That's a lot of syllables, you know? Arabella. When they brought her in a bit ago, I saw them, and then I manifest that to you by pointing about that they had arrived. The Spirit manifest Jesus to you. Because although John and Hope and Arabella were here, they weren't manifest to you. Because they came in behind you. But I saw them. The world can't see him. World can't know him. But you'll know him. Because by the Spirit, Jesus will be manifest, shown to be present with you. World won't see him. You'll see him. You'll know him. He'll manifest. And Judas, not Iscariot, he didn't really get this. Because verse 23, Judas, Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you're going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Okay. So Jesus said to him, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And get this, look at how Jesus brings this home. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Wow. This is the reality of knowing Christ. And I cannot describe it to you to the degree for you to say, oh,
Because the experience of this is more than I can describe. He comes to you and He shows Himself to you in the Spirit, and He settles in and is at home with you.
You know, I've heard people say that people who are believers act like they have God in their back pocket. Oh. And you know what they're talking about? There is this familiarity with Him, this going to Him and interacting with Him and knowing what God is up to and what He's doing, and I can get with Him. And believers act like they have God in their back pocket. Well, I want you to know, He's not in my back pocket. No, I'm in His back pocket. Okay? He's got the whole world in His hand, and I suppose sometimes if He's got a back pocket, that I go there. Because He's at home with me. I've had people who say to me, your church is kind of like, they just kind of bring God. I'm not educated in the, but you, in your church, I've had it said at funerals. You know, that's one of the things a pastor gets to do, is go to funerals quite often. Okay? And I've had where I go to the funeral home and say, the people of your church, they just handle this so different. They're so much more. And you know what it is? It's not me. It's knowing God and being at home with Him. And this is just stepping from this planet just consciously into His presence. And you know, that just doesn't sound all that bad. Does it? It's just kind of wow. Now, I'm not advocating that. Paul says it's more desirable. I'm not advocating that. But I want you to know the experience of it, as God provides for it, just isn't all that bad, because we are already at home with Him and we just go to His presence. And because Jesus is utterly reliable, this is what He said we'd do, we're privileged. It's a privileged position. Amen? Wow. Jesus brings the idea home there too. Okay, so much for this dwelling with you, being in you. He's going to do this too. Look with me down to verse number 25 of the same chapter. He says, these things, Jesus said, verse 25, these things I've spoken to you while I'm still with you. I've done that so that you got a grasp on it, so that you get that Jesus is continued. And that's why He's told us. But, verse 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be specific, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This will be the ministry of what this amounts to. Him teaching you. And bringing it to your mind, the things that He has spoken to you. You know, I need to confess to you something that I know from experience, both mine and yours, at least some of yours, most of yours, I know from experience, a that sometimes life is like slugging it out in the trenches. It's kind of like, you know, hand-to-hand combat. Isn't it interesting how film will do that? You know, they'll show you all this stuff, and eventually it always comes down to the star and another in hand-to-hand. I mean, this star has been able to handle masses, but there's this one enemy who it gets down to hand-to-hand, you know, with you and me, buddy. It's amazing how that happens over and over. I mean, it happens to Superman. It happens to... what's the guy with the... yeah, it's one. Yeah, it happens to him too. One to one. It's amazing how Doc and I connect. You know what I mean? And I know that in struggling this out in the trenches that... sometimes anger comes up. And we don't like to call it anger. This is a more subdued term, frustration. I'm frustrated. Did you ever tell you how frustrated I get when I try to use this and you can't? Yeah, you know, slugging it out in the trenches. And sometimes I know from experience, both yours and mine, that there are failures and that there are shortcomings and there are habits of mind and habits of action that we keep going back to that and testings and at those times we say, where is God in this? I know that those exist. I know that they do. And sometimes when I'm all alone and my own Lord, where are you? I know. And this is the better position. Because it's then what He made to dwell in us teaches and brings to mind what He teaches. Because when I go through that, my mind goes to what He said. Anger. Oh, the anger of man doesn't achieve the right that God has in mind. Let everybody be slow to speak and slow to anger and quick to listen. And those things come back to mind. And that is the privileged position, that the Spirit will do this. He will bring to mind God and God's realities. And that is so much better than having pastor hanging around with you. It's even better than having Jesus beside you. That the Spirit is there in you and it's doing it. Count on it. But you have to have something loaded in so He can bring it to mind. Amen? Yeah. I mean, you can't remember what you didn't get. Yeah. You have to. Okay. And He does this too. And He bears witness about Jesus. Look with me where He says at the end of verse number chapter 15, verse 26. Where He says, and the Spirit when He comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. He will tell you about Jesus. And He will tell you how Jesus fits here. He will tell you how the work of Christ and the provision of Christ and knowing Jesus is Christ helped you here. This is how He fits. This is how it goes. I need to confess to you. The other day I was just thinking about this. I looked at my placard on the wall. You know, I got placard on the wall. Did you know? Did any of you have a placard on the wall? A placard? I got a placard on the wall. And it says, since 1998, I have been a certified biblical counselor. Woo! That's a long time. I didn't realize that. And then I realized how long I've been counseling, because I was counseling before I was a certified biblical counselor. And you know, next month, I will have known the Lord 40 years. I'm not that old. You know how that is, right? It's good thing I got the Spirit of truth. Amen? Yeah, I need that. I need that. The Spirit of truth. 40 years. And can I confess to you something? That as I've done this, there is times that I have kind of that this technique and this kind of thing. And I want you to know, the Lord has just grown me to say, what I need to do is to take people to how Jesus fits here in this. This is how you line up with Christ on this. And all these little, go do this and do that and bring it to Christ and how His reality fits here, because that's what He says you will do. The Spirit will do this, and then you also will do this. You'll also do it, He says, verse 27, because you've been with Me, you'll do this. That's what the Spirit does. That's the better position. And one more. Here, let me put that up and give you this. And He will guide you into all truth. Look at verse chapter 26 at verse 12. I have many things to say, He says, but you can't bear them now. When He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you. He will guide you into the truth. He will take it. As you have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff. I was just talking to a person in a long-distance counseling yesterday, and you know what long-distance counseling is? It's when I have to get on one of these. Did I ever tell you how annoying it is with one of these? When you can't... Yeah. It's a good thing we have the Spirit that functions so much better than this, than getting a hold of somebody. I was using one of these yesterday in long distance counseling, and as I was talking to them, we had to talk about how the change takes place in a person that's growing. And I did describe this to them and talked about what the Lord does, and this person said to me, so every fellowship that I have with somebody? And I said, no, not every time we have fellowship does He use this. He does use it, because sometimes believers come by and they don't encourage us in Christ. They'll say something like, well, I wouldn't put up with that. If I were you, I'd give her or him a piece of my mind. I'd put my foot down and I say, it's this way or the high. And I want you to know, even there, the Lord will guide you into truth. Because you'll see that this doesn't square with what God has said. And it's the Spirit that's in you that's better than Jesus beside you, which will guide you into that truth. And He will guide you to this goal, that Christ will be given a good opinion to other people around you. That's glorifying Him. This is what the Lord said I will do. I'll do it. I'll do this. I'll do this. I'll do this. And you'll glorify Me. It's a privileged position. What do you do? Receive it. Answer the phone. Take it. Use it. Count on it. As a matter of fact, when the Lord said this, He said, if you, I will. We've looked at the I wills, and I wanted to emphasize the I wills concerning what He, Father, Son, and Spirit will do. I want to acclimate you to that. And here is your if. Okay? Let me take this up. If you, and He talks about how to access this. That's what He talks about. You know, I have at my office 2 notebook pages that have accesses on them. Logins. I have passwords. I have them all over. I mean, I get in so many applications that are locked down and you have to... This is access, and you have to... Here's your access. This is your login. Here's your password. Your access. Okay? Look with me how the Lord says it. John chapter 14, He says this. Here's your access. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will, and all the things that we just basked in. Your access. Your access. Love me. If you love me, you will. And he says it again. He says it in verse 21 when he explains this thing in verse 24. This is you love me. If you don't do this, you don't love me. Now I want you to know where our minds go. Our minds go, okay, this is what I have to do for the Lord to do this. That's where our minds go. This is what I have to do. And I want you to know this is not a performance of what you have to do. This is a living reality of what you have. Say this with me. What I have. Say that with me. What I have, not what I do. Say this with me. What I have, not what I do. It's what you have. If you are in Christ and you are born of the Spirit and this mystery of God has made you alive there in Christ, then what you have is a love of God. That's what you have. Here, let me show you what the Scripture says. Loving God. It says this. In this is love. Not that we loved God. No, it's not what you do here. It's not that you love God, but that He loved you. And that He sent His Son to be the propitiation. What does propitiation mean? It means the complete, satisfying payment for my sin. He is the propitiation. Not that you loved God, but that He loved you and He sent His Son to be the complete, satisfying payment for your sin. Brothers, sisters, we have a love of God that comes from Him. Not that I loved Him, but He loved me. He initiated. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And when I have this Spirit, I love Him. I love Him. And when you love Him, Jesus said, we love Him because He first loved us. When you love Him, Jesus said, you hear His voice. You know, this isn't going to work out so well in your life. Go this way. And you love Him. And you know, sometimes I get a war in my flesh and my selfish interest that thinks, I don't think that's the best way. But I can't go there very long because it's like, Lord, if I go here, this is not going to, and yours is, and I do love you. If you love me. He says it all over. All over. It's what we have. It's just this love of God, and it comes out this way. Do I always do it well? I haven't ever done it well. Never. Never have I done it well. But that's okay because Jesus did it all for me. And I'm just kind of going with Him. And that's what we have. Do you have a love for God like that? Let me end with this. Jesus talked about this thing of having a love for Him. As a matter of fact, a person came to Jesus and just fell down at His feet, and they were just kind of hugging and kissing and sweetening His feet. I've never had somebody do that to me. You know, fall down at your feet and say, oh, you're so wonderful. Oh, kissing. Yeah. Now, I have a wife who is very forward on being a helper. And even though I, you know, am so, she is a helper, okay? But your feet, kissing and sweet, and I've never had anybody do that. That's what Jesus had, somebody at his feet doing that. Why was she doing this? Jesus explains. He says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, there were. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Gone. Wiped clean. For she loved much. She knew what she had. Just what she had. But to him who little is forgiven, the same loves little. Can I tell you where the problem is if somebody has a little love for Jesus? It's not because they have little sin. It's not there. They may not realize the magnitude of their sin, but it's not that their sin is little. It's not where it's at. It's just that they're not forgiven. They're still loving the sin. Wow. Lord, we're coming back to you because we need you, and you have so provided for us. Even while you're not here physically, you have so provided for us. I pray that in your name, Jesus' name. Amen.